Hi, and welcome to episode 104 of C3, Crystals, Cauldrons, and Cocktails. And I, again, will never get tired of saying that. This week, we will be talking about pathwork in witchcraft, and it may not be what you're thinking, but...
It wasn't what I was thinking.
It wasn't what I was thinking either. I thought it was going to be... You'll see. But we do want to say... We pre-recorded our last couple of episodes, and luckily we did because, you know, River got COVID. And so... Yeah.
And I'm still sick,
yeah,
y'all.
It really helped us out. But maybe that's why last week's episode, you're like, wow, River sounds great. They didn't even mention anything. Yeah, that's because it hadn't happened yet.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, how you're... adventure went at Dragon Con and all of that. But first, what are we drinking?
First, yes.
So we are into all of the fall things right now. You know, we're September, right? Mm-hmm. And I've already decorated my apartment for Halloween.
She did that like weeks ago, y'all.
I did that about like a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Because why only decorate for a month when you can have it for 2 months? You know,
right?
We're starting to slide into a little bit cooler air, a little nice weather. You know, I mean, it's still like you sweat in the afternoon, but in the morning it feels great. You know, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yesterday was Mabon, right?
Yes, yes.
When this comes out, you know, yesterday was Mabon. Mm-hmm. And so we had to come up with an apple drink. And, you know, I found this one. I'm going to say I found this on TikTok.
We tweaked it a bit for our own selves.
But first, you'll want to rim your glass. Make sure it's like a mixture of maybe cinnamon and sugar, maybe some nutmeg, like whatever fall-esque you want in there.
Pumpkin
spice. That sounds delicious. Then you use an apple slice to make the rim wet, you know, get a little bit of mm-hmm. apple juice. Then dip the glass into your sugar mixture. Then you're going to pour some apple cider into your glass, you know, make it fancy with a champagne glass or whatever you want. If you want it to mm-hmm. be a red solo cup, let it be a red solo cup.
Whatever works, man.
Whatever
works.
We're down. I mean, hey, a red solo cup, you can hold more. So
this is true.
And then you're going to top off with a little bit of sparkling wine of your choice. It could be, you know, Brut like River likes, or
yes.
For me, I might do like a bubbling Riesling or something like mm-hmm. that. Like that just mm-hmm. sounds like a Riesling. I did do a Riesling. I couldn't think of another one. On top, I mean, it needs to be something sparkly because it kind of gives you like a bubbly sensation.
Yes. I love the bubbles.
Like anything flat, like I, you know, I'm a sucker for Moscato, but that just wouldn't work for this one.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you're going to want to add a cinnamon stick for garnish, and, you know, it adds a little bit more cinnamon flavor if you want. Mm-hmm. And then you also can put some apple slices on your. As a garnish as well. Mm-hmm. And then we will call this one Autumn's Kiss.
Yes. Yes.
So
it is addicting. It is very, very good.
Very good. And I will say I do have a pumpkin scented candle. Wow. Candle going. And I have a mood, and on the TV behind me, I'm in a different location. I'm on my couch today. Mm-hmm. And so I put a little Halloween scene from YouTube on my computer. My brain's not working on my TV.
Mine either. I still have COVID brain. But my husband got out the dehydrator and made dehydrated apples so that I could use them in my drink recipes. He's so sweet.
That's so nice.
And they're so good by themselves. I mean,
like little crispy bits.
Yeah. When you dehydrate them down, the sugar is condensed, and it just is so sweet and yummy.
Don't they get like kind of like bendy, not so like mm-hmm. where they don't snap, but they get bendy?
You can make them go all the way until they snap, but I wanted them a little bit bendy.
Like bendy. Ooh, that sounds so good right now.
And they look so cute in cocktails.
I bet. Mm-hmm. I don't have any of those because you're over there. You're over there mm-hmm. being fancy. I'm over here with my...
You don't want to be over here with me sick anyway.
No. Yeah, no.
Yeah, we haven't seen each other for like, I don't know, it's been 3 weeks.
It feels like we haven't podcasted in a long time, but it's maybe been about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
It's been a little bit, I don't know, man. But anyways, how was your Dragon Con?
It was lovely, other than the fact that I caught COVID.
That you got COVID.
But I didn't feel sick at all until the day we came home. So I was able to enjoy and spread COVID.
And spread
I got it there, and I'm sure I spread it there because I didn't know I was sick until Sunday.
Yeah.
But it was so much fun. I really got to enjoy it. And there were some really cool witchy things there, which I didn't remember. I mean, they have witch hats and stuff every year, which I've bought one from there, of course, before. But they had all kinds of witchy things. They even had a panel that talked about voodoo. And so I'm going to see if I can get in touch with the people in charge and see if they will do a witchcraft track.
Ooh.
And maybe Ren and I can do a class.
You know, that would be fun.
Wouldn't that be fun?
I would have to come up with like basically a whole curriculum to teach, and I don't know if I can do that.
Well, there's lots of witches too, and we listen to their podcast, so we could see if they would be willing to come.
That's very true.
I don't know how it all works, but I'm gonna. Mm-hmm. I have someone who knows someone who knows someone
who knows someone
who is active with Dragon Con. So if we can get a witchcraft track up, then maybe next year y'all can come to Dragon Con.
Oh yeah, that would be so much fun.
We could meet you, and you could meet us. It would be so fun.
And hopefully not get COVID.
Yeah, that was bad. I'm still sick. I mean, it's been 3 weeks, and I'm still sick.
Also, I want to say we ranked, okay, you're going to have to help me out here because I can't remember the website, but we ranked 10 in witchcraft.
Yes. So exciting. It was like feed something feed.
Not BuzzFeed.
That's close though. It's something
close.
Like that.
Let me find it. And then we were so excited, and it was actually my husband who submitted for us, and I had no idea.
I had no idea either. He's so awesome.
He was super excited. Let me see if I can find it in our email. FeedSpot.
FeedSpot.
So we are ranked 10th place, like 10 out of the section of top 50 witch podcasts. We are ranked 10. So it's
so
super exciting. So we are high on that list, and we could potentially even be higher because we were looking at it, and they base our rankings off of like how many followers we have on certain social media platforms, and some of their numbers were incorrect due to like, you know, it's a process to get everybody's numbers. And so we had gone up a little bit. So I think we're probably maybe even a little bit higher on that list. But if you guys are interested, go check out FeedSpot because that's a great way to find podcasts in ranking from however they rank it, listens-wise, social media-wise.
Along those lines, follow us on all of our social media. That would help us out tremendously.
It helps us a lot. Like, I mean, we don't benefit like money-wise or anything out of all of this, but it does get our name out there. It gets us more listens, and you know, we would love to make this a full-time job. I would love to make this a full-time job because I am currently still unemployed, so this is my full-time job right now.
Yeah, I haven't even talked to you because I've been so sick, but
yeah, like,
I was,
we haven't really
no news on the job front. That's terrible.
Yeah, I know, right? I know. It's been a journey, but hey, everything happens for a reason. And I wasn't meant to get the positions that I interviewed for and everything because there's something better for me.
I think
out there.
So
it's not like, but I have cried.
Aww.
Yeah, let's talk about pathwork and not about me crying.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
So when you hear pathwork, you're like, what the heck are you talking about? Right?
Well, it's not what I thought.
No. So, and I came up with this idea thinking that it was going to be something else, and then it wasn't, kind of, you know.
Which we've had that happen before, which is wonderful, wonderful thing about doing this podcast.
So, pathwork in witchcraft is a technique used in modern witchcraft and spiritual practices, particularly within the realms of Wicca and other pagan traditions. So it involves guided meditation or visualization exercises that allow practitioners to explore different spiritual realms, connect with specific deities, elements, or energies and gain insights into themselves and the universe. Now, I will say we've been on a roll with our topics recently.
We really have.
And it's all been about self-discovery and inner working and, you know, working through your demons. And this is also one of those things. So pathworking can be a powerful tool for self-discovery, personal growth, and deepening one's understanding of magical and spiritual concepts.
Yeah, it really reminds me a lot of shadow work to some extent.
Yeah.
But not the same, but a lot of that. So we really are on a roll with these topics. Now, before I did research on this, I thought it was going to be about the path that witches choose, like, you know, oh, I'm a water witch or I'm a kitchen witch, but that's a totally different thing.
No, because I thought it was going to be like, I mean, and kind of in a sense, it kind of is, but like each path that you take, like each choice that you make is another decision that'll lead you down a different path. And then working from there and maybe sitting down, kind of like chess, where in your head you play through the next moves that you need to make to be able to win. And so I thought of pathwork as sort of like that. You sit down, you look at what you want your life to be and what paths you need to take to get there. So,
yeah. And I think that's accurate to some degree. Pathwork will lead you to the magical path, in that it's going to offer you guidance in understanding yourself, which then of course will lead you to, how do you want to practice, be it kitchen witchery or river witchery, or whatever. And also, as we've said many times before, every witch is different. So say you and I were both kitchen witches, the way you do kitchen witchery and the way I do kitchen witchery are two different things. Our paths are two different paths. And it's also, as I started going through this and realizing it wasn't what I thought it was, I'm like, well, maybe we should define what a path is, which a path is a route or track between one place and another, or the direction in which something is moving. It is a set of actions, especially ones that lead to a goal or result. It is a way or track made by or for people walking on the ground, or a line along which something moves. A path is also a set of actions that lead to a result or goal, which is more what we're talking about with this episode.
Yeah.
I found this really cool blog post. It was by porcelainpumpkin.blogspot.com. And it kind of helped me understand a little bit better what pathwork and witchcraft was. So she said, or he said, I'm not sure which who wrote it, but when a witch first steps foot on the road to witchcraft, he or she begins his or her path. A witch's path is her personal journey. Everything she learns, all that she encounters, all of that happens along her path. So pathwork, unlike traditional witchcraft, in that it does not depend on a direct source, an outside source. The only source that pathwork requires is you yourself. So a witch might follow or, you know, believe in an established traditional witchcraft, but our journey doing that traditional or established witchcraft is not going to be the same as others who do that same traditional or established witchcraft. And this article talked about the difference between pathwork being individual to the witch and tradition, which is something passed among witches, you know, to other witches. And she said, the moment a witch makes her path public and willingly shares her knowledge to a pupil or a seeker of the arts, that witch then establishes a tradition. But that doesn't mean her path is no longer a path. What she did to get to that point is completely her own and completely personal. The choices she made along her path are going to be different. So she passes on her knowledge. Someone else is going to take that knowledge. Like my practice is a mishmash of a whole bunch of different practices that are out there. And that's my path work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not the path work. I'm never going to understand what the person who created that tradition thought and went through. You know, it's all you can do is pass on that information, but they'll never know what was in the mind of the witch that who wrote that spell.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I think it's so important, honestly, to write your own spells. I don't think it's a bad thing to get an idea off the internet.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, no,
but tweak it to you.
Yeah. No idea is like original. Like, I feel like everything's already been done. If you can think about it, somebody's already also thought about it. So, I mean, we can grab guidance and ideas from wherever, like books, mm-hmm. online, other mm-hmm. people, et cetera, and then tweak it to what we need, which I feel like, I mean, I do that a lot. And I feel like a lot of people do that, question mark,
so.
Do they?
I think so. Because we, and witchcraft is especially unique in this way. It's not like when you're teaching science, the atom is the atom, no matter what you do with it, it's mm-hmm. still going to be the mm-hmm. atom. With witchcraft, we all access the energies in our own ways. So it's not like teaching a set rule. It is bendable to the will mm-hmm. of whoever is mm-hmm. the practitioner. And so she said, this is what separates pathwork from tradition. Everything the witch felt, thought, saw, said, created, expressed, that all belongs to that witch's path. All the practices that she compiles over the years along her path become a tradition once she hands them down to her daughter or to mm-hmm. her coven or whatever. But it's up to each person that she hands it off to experience that magic in their own way through their path.
Mm-hmm.
So your path might be the choices that you make in your craft, but path working is delving into your choices to gain insight into yourself. Why did you choose that? Why was that choice made? What was your thought process for that? And then that helps you choose your path as far as how you want to practice. You know, mm-hmm. do I want to be a water witch? Am I a fire witch? That kind of thing.
It hurts my head.
I know it went to a totally different place than I expected it to go.
Yeah.
Since pathwork is a path of transformation as well as transcendence, which I think all witchcraft is,
mm-hmm.
the work of illuminating and transforming the shadow self is not the final objective. So that's why it's different than shadow work. It's not just about finding your shadow self and what's wrong. It's about what you do with it after that.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you use pathworking in your witchcraft practice? There are very many ways to work pathwork into your practice. It can be one-on-one with a friend, like River. I mean, Jesus, my COVID brain is a mess.
River and myself.
River,
like yourself.
Me, myself, and I.
Me, myself, and I.
Ren and I kind of started this way with this one-on-one pathwork together.
Mm-hmm.
But it might be embarrassing to explore your dark side with a friend. That's why we're so close. We don't have that problem, but some people might. But Helen Keller once said, walking with a friend in the dark is better than walking alone in the light, which I thought that applies to this. So yes, find your coven, find your one-on-one
like home,
witch friend.
You know, like
yes.
The people mm-hmm. that you can call home, essentially.
Yeah. And walk with them into the dark and find your path. You can do workshops or group work. Work with your coven. There are workshops. That might be something we could do at Dragon Con, is have pathwork workshop, which would be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Books, research, internet, obviously.
Yes.
Tarot. Tarot is a great way to work with pathwork, which I am getting more and more and more into tarot cards as time goes on. They are so eye-opening and profound to me. I'm loving it.
Yeah, I found mine.
You found yours?
Yeah, I remember how they were hiding from me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I found them.
So are they happy to see you?
No.
No. Oh, my goodness. But the first place that you need to start when you're going to do path work is to look inside yourself. That's very similar to shadow work. I found another quote that also rings true. It says, "Do not be afraid to travel a new path. It may be the way to find what you've been looking for all along." You're going to have to explore yourself to go down this path work, and you can do it in any way. And I think that you went into a lot of depth about how do we do path work.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like a broken record.
I mean, a lot of this is so similar.
I say the same things every time, maybe with like a small differentiation, how whatever the word is in there, like depending on the practice that you're in, or depending on if you're working with water magic or chakra work or like whatever. But I feel like everything starts out the same way.
I think so, because magic, the way you work with magic, I think you have to be centered within yourself before you can actually.
I mean, I feel like all of this needs to be second nature, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it needs to just be like, oh, before I do the spell or before I start working with my shadow or blah blah blah, all of this already just needs to be like second nature, like instinct.
Yeah, this is what we do. It should be what we do. Well, tell us what it is that we're supposed to be doing. Tell me how to do this.
Tell me how. So, I mean, you're always going to want to start with preparing, or having like that preparation. You know how we cleanse our spaces, you know, whatever it may be. So in preparation for this, you're going to want to find a quiet and comfortable space where you won't be disturbed. You're going to set the mood by lighting candles, playing soothing music, or using other sensory elements that may relax you. Could be, you know, water, fall sounds, like whatever it may be, whatever you need. And I mean, I know I say like turn off the lights and put on the candles, but if you need to do it in a bright room that has only sunlight, do that. You know,
that's
like whatever.
True. Whatever works for you.
Yeah. And so in this preparation, it's very crucial for path working, as it is, I feel like, for everything else. It's very crucial to create a conductive environment for deep and meaningful experience. And so I'm going to give you guys a couple of steps to prepare for a successful path working session.
Okay.
So you'll choose a suitable time and space. And I feel like time we don't really talk about as much. But the time of day also is very important when you're going to want to choose your path working and how you start.
Well, so, I mean, and time, not just time in that, oh, sunrise is important for this and noon is important to this, but as parents, time when the kids are at school, or time, you know, when they're having their bath for the night, that's important too, because trying to get yourself into a comfortable, non-disturbed place when you've got children is a very difficult thing. So time that way is something that you need to think about as well.
I wouldn't know about that. I have no kids.
Sorry, River. Animal children.
I have fur babies, but it was funny off the topic of me being unemployed. I saw a TikTok where it was like, I know I'm off topic, where they were my generation, you know, and they were like, yeah, like here's a day in my life of, my generation who has no kids, and it's like they're like them and their partner, and they're like financially stable and they're happy and they're doing things like cooking together in the evening, and they only have like one cat or one dog, and they're vibing, and like they have everything they could want plus more, and like savings, and they have all of this stuff, and I'm over here and an unemployed like sure, like my husband and I could have that. But
we don't right now.
We don't right now. So anyways.
So back to the
before my brain jumped to TikTok and all of that. You're going to want to select a time. This is where it all started. Time. When you won't be interrupted. Like you have to find a quiet, comfortable. Yeah, for real.
3 o'clock space. In the morning. But then at 3 o'clock in the morning, that's the devil's hour. And then you got the demons coming to visit.
Or you could live in an apartment complex. And like how my husband and I woke up this morning at 5:23 to our upstairs neighbor vacuuming above us. So
okay.
It's great.
So we understand that finding time and space is going to be difficult, but you got to do it.
Very difficult, but you got to do it. It could be a cozy room, a quiet corner of nature, or any place where you feel at ease. And it could even be at work on a lunch break. If you guys like at work, I don't know where you work. If there's like small breakout rooms, it could be in the bathroom. It could be.
Or just outside on a park bench if you're lucky enough to be in an area that has one of those.
Yeah.
And Atlanta has wonderful outside spaces.
Yeah. So cleansing and purifying. So before beginning, you might want to perform a cleansing or purification ritual to clear the space of any negative energy. So let's say you are at work and you're trying to set your intentions and do all of this and work with path work, then you're going to want to clear that space because who wants any of that work mojo in your magic work? Like, you don't want that.
And River got sent home because she set off the fire alarms while she was
no.
Office.
No, that's not what I'm thinking. That's not what I'm talking about. You can also cleanse your space other ways too.
This is true.
Cleansing can involve smudging with sage or other cleansing herbs. And then you can also use salt water, like salt water, and then flick some water around. Anything that aligns with your practice. So, I usually use incense. You know, incense is what I use to cleanse. And then obviously River uses some sage and all of that.
Yeah, I don't do it at work. I would be fired.
Yeah,
and not because, I mean, my boss is great. There's no, it's not a religion thing or anything like that. I'm just, River, you've set off the fire alarm again. It's, you know.
Again, this is your fourth warning and it's your final.
Yeah. So,
And then after you're done with that, I would recommend no smoke alarms going off. After you do that, you decide on the purpose of what your path working session is about. Are you seeking guidance? Are you wanting to connect with a deity? Are you exploring an aspect within yourself, or is it something else? So clarifying your intention will help focus your energy and guide your visualization.
Yeah, you're right. This is all stuff we've
We all before. Talk about this all the time. I feel like a broken record. And then you're going to want to ground and center yourself. Spend a few moments grounding and centering yourself by closing your eyes, taking in deep breaths, and visualizing roots or extending your body into the earth, anchoring you to the ground. You know, I need to do another Ren.
You do
meditation.
I'm ready for another one. Yes.
And so this helps balance and root you to what you need. Like, it helps, I guess, and it's another way of clearing your mind and just grounding you. I don't know how else to like define grounding you.
Do you like to go barefoot outside like I do and walk in the grass?
I love it, but with the Jarrow spiders and everything out right now, I can't do, I know I say I love it outside, but I can't do bugs.
Yeah,
usually they're fine. It's just the Jarrows, they hang either low or high, and you just have no idea where they are.
And they share their webs. That's the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah. My husband and I, we went on a trail, a different trail than what we usually do. It's about like maybe like 30 minutes out from where we usually are.
See, look at you getting healthy while you're unemployed.
Yeah, that's true. I am getting healthy and, you know, doing
things. That's awesome. Yeah.
Because I do have time for myself, kind of. That, I have time for myself and TikTok.
And TikTok.
but we were on this path and it didn't look like a very well frequented path. Like, there were people, but like there were other extensions of this path that you could take. Look, path work and the path, you know.
Look at us go.
And it was funny. My husband is hilarious when he's uncomfortable. Because it was just like there was like a Jarrow spider like hanging there, and oh man, and he just says the most funny things when it's just so hilarious. Like, he was hilarious. I was laughing my ass off walking through a forest, and it was just, they were everywhere. And so in that instance, like, I love it outside and I love being in the woods and all of that, but in that instance I wanted to leave. Like, I didn't want to be there because I was uncomfortable with all the Jarrows. They were everywhere. And we were we were out of the forest at one point and walking through like some tall grass. Like it was like a little path, but like the grass was kind of slanted into the path, which is normal. There was a jarro, like a large jarro web, like slanted into the path. And I was like, my gosh, like, can we please just leave these jarro spiders?
I don't like spiders either. And the mosquitoes, I'm an O positive person. And apparently that's mosquitoes' favorite blood source. So
I don't know what I am.
We'll go outside and I'm getting eaten up and it's like I'm the magnet. The magnet. To all of the, and everybody's like, this is great.
It's great. It's
like,
great because when you're there, none of us get eaten. So it's like, I can actually sit outside and enjoy it. And you're over here, like, you're miserable.
I like to walk barefoot. There is just something about your feet in the grass, on the dirt, that does something.
I'm right there with you. It's just the bugs that we have right now.
Yeah. Well, as it gets cooler, we won't have those anymore.
Yeah, we won't have many. Yeah. Back on topic. We're going off topic a little bit, maybe because we haven't seen each other.
We haven't.
Other in
it's
a little bit.
It's been a long time. Yeah.
But sensory enhancements. So, we haven't really talked about these as much. So engage your senses to create an immersive experience. So like your candles, but also soft music. We don't really talk about music. And I think music can have a very magical, if you want to say, sense in our magical practices.
I actually have a soundtrack that I listen to when I'm casting my jar spells that I do. That's on YouTube. It is witch music, and I found it, and it's lovely. I think music does add something.
It really does. We don't really talk about music as much, or really ever that I can.
We probably
think of.
Should do an episode,
like
on
a whole
music
episode
magic.
On music.
Yeah,
rock music for this type of witch. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh yeah, Viking music for this. Yeah.
Or you can use essential oils or incense to create that soothing atmosphere, aroma, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. Smell for sure.
Yeah. The sensory elements can help you transport like you deeper into the state of consciousness. And that's what I try to do. I try to pick really good calming background music when I do my meditations. I've only done two, but I've tried to pick the best ones that can go in the background and not distract you, but also put you in that place.
For those of you who are not patrons, that is, she does these wonderful guided meditations.
Oh, yes. I guess I should explain.
Are for our patrons only, and they are lovely. She has done two so far, and we are all anxiously awaiting more.
I've been needing to do one, and I think I'm going to do this one longer with like longer spaces in between because I talk really fast. And so to add a couple of chunks in there where you can really visualize it instead of hopping from one vision to the next, that's my plan. So stay tuned on Patreon.
Stay tuned and get it on Patreon only.
Yes. And then relaxation techniques. So practice relaxation techniques like deep breathing, like muscle relaxation, meditation, ease your mind of any tensions in your body. And I know that's super hard because there's a lot going on, especially like everything's so expensive right now. You have to stress about that. You have to stress about your kids. You have to stress about your animals, your spouse, your whatever it may be, yourself, the car, if you're having car problems. Like there's a lot of stuff that can go wrong.
Always something. So you've got to take this time to relax.
It's very important to clear your mind and relax. And then you can also do visualization exercises. So simple, like for path working, enhance your ability to create those detailed mental images and like visualize an apple or a tree or an apple tree or any object to see it vividly in your mind so that you can do that with what you're trying to like hone in on for your path work.
I always visualize fire for some reason. It's just so beautiful and wild and untamed.
Mine is usually like a forest or like an open field surrounded by forest with the wind blowing and like the fall and some leaves are falling, but not all of them are have fallen off. That's my happy place. And then you're also going to want to take protective measures. So some practitioners like to visualize a protective barrier around themselves before they start pathworking. And this barrier can help keep you safe during your journey.
Mm-hmm.
And then setting intent with tools. You can use any specific tool like a tarot deck or runes.
Yes.
Or you might want to draw a card and or cast runes to gain insight into your pathwork intention. Like whatever it is. I feel like a broken record.
I think that's a great idea because a lot of us are going, okay, so we have to do pathwork and we know we need to do it, but we don't know what our intention is. And I think using runes or tarot mm-hmm. can help you.
It can help you. Yeah.
Yeah. Decide mm-hmm. which path, you know, you need to explore, what it is that you're trying to focus on for this particular pathworking session.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And then journal. Here's another excuse to have a journal.
Another journal.
Another journal.
So sorry, honey.
What number journal is that now?
553.
Exactly. And this one will have a big stamp on the front, pathworking.
Absolutely.
So yeah, keep a journal or notebook nearby to record your experiences after the session. This allows you to really capture your insights and observations immediately while they're fresh. Like, I don't know how else to really hone in on, like, it's very important to do it immediately mm-hmm. after, because that's when you'll have the most detail, you'll remember the most, because as time goes on, you're like, oh, yeah, was it that or was it this? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then duration and timing. Decide how long you want your pathworking session to last. It could be a short 10-minute session or longer 30-minute session or more. It could be an hour. It could be 2 hours. So set a timer. Yeah, yeah. Set a timer and use a gentle alarm. Gentle. When I say gentle, it needs to be like, I wake up to the bat, bat, and I'm in like shock every morning, but it's what I need to jolt myself awake. But from this, you need to have something gentle. Like, you don't want to be like snapped out of it immediately. It needs to be a gentle release.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, this seems like a whole lot of work. I found another quote. Today is quote day, apparently. Pocahontas once said, sometimes the right path is not the easiest one.
So, see, you're on a roll with these
quote things. I don't know where that came from. Usually it's some did you knows, but
did you know? No, it's quote time.
Quotes today.
You need to say like Rivers quote of the day. I don't know.
Quote of the day. I could do like posts on Instagram and Facebook of a quote of the day or something.
Quote of the day. No, but that's a great like saying. It's like not always the easiest, but it's the one that you have to take. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just honing in too close to home right now for me and my job searching. So then now you're going to, again, continue with the centering and grounding. So once you've begun with your path working, you're going to want to stay grounded and you're going to want to center yourself and find your inner balance and alignment.
Yeah. And I think this is good for you to explain because we talk about it. Oh yeah. You center and ground, but we've never said, how do you do that?
I mean, I was struggling earlier of like how to ground, like define grounding. So yeah,
especially if you can't go outside barefoot, you know, like it's winter time in Pennsylvania or whatever.
Yeah.
How do you ground?
So grounding and centering are foundational practices in many spiritual and meditative traditions, including pathworking. And so mm-hmm. they help you establish a stable and balanced energy foundation, ensuring that you're connected to the present moment in your inner self. So it involves connecting your energy to the earth, allowing excess energy to flow out of you and maintaining that sense of stability. And this practice can help you feel rooted, focused, and present. And I guess focused is a very good word for it. Like it's focusing on that.
And you're ridding yourself of excess energy how you feel when you drink too much caffeine and you're all jittery. You can get that way with energy as well. And so by allowing the earth to reabsorb some of your energy, it does help calm you down.
That's very true.
Mm-hmm.
So centering is about finding your inner balance and alignment. And it involves bringing your awareness to your core self, and core self as in mentally and physically.
Okay.
So it is how to center specifically is find a comfortable position. Like probably for me, it would be like crisscross applesauce or I mean, pretty much like that. Or if you're in like a chair, then like, you know, normal legs straight in front of you, down, both feet planted on the floor and your shoulders.
When I do my down. Chakra, I lay down.
Oh, laying down.
Because I feel like my whole body then is horizontal to the earth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe that's wrong.
No, laying down for you is good. Like yeah, it's whatever works for you. So for me, I like the idea of having my feet on the ground. For some reason, it has to do a lot with my feet. And so I like my feet flat on the ground. Whereas if you're laying down or crisscross applesauce, my feet, like it's more like your butt or like your whole back is on the ground. But I like my feet being on the ground.
That makes sense.
So sit, stand, lay in a comfortable position. And then you can do this indoors and outdoors. But I like outdoors because, you know, you're more connected with the earth.
Unless then you're gonna, there's spiders.
Unless there's spiders. I hate spiders. I really hate spiders. And then you're going to close your eyes and take a few deep breaths by inhaling deeply through your nose, allowing your abdomen to expand and exhale slowly through your mouth. So then, I don't know why I said that weird, but then you're going to visualize your roots. So imagine that you're growing roots from the base of your spine or the soles of your feet, depending on how you're laying or sitting.
Mm-hmm.
And then exactly the roots extend deep into the earth's core, anchoring you firmly.
You know, this talking about feet.
I love
feet. I have a did you know? Did you know that the human foot has 26 bones, 33 joints, and 20 muscles?
I knew about bones.
There are 8,000 nerves in your feet, more than any other part of your body. And then considering that our ancestors, like pre-ancestors, did a lot of walking barefoot. There was no such thing as shoes back then. You know, it makes me wonder what connection and grounding we in this life generation are missing because we wear shoes.
Yeah. And we pave everything.
And we pave everything.
Everything's paved with this asphalt that gets super hot during the summer.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I personally don't wear shoes as often as I can get away with not wearing shoes.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in high school, I broke my toe because I kicked a desk because I wouldn't wear shoes. The principal had to call my mom and say, yeah, it's at an odd angle. But I don't like to wear shoes. But when walking barefoot, our body absorbs the free ions from the earth's surface, which act as antioxidants. And these antioxidants enhance our health and lead to positive feelings in the body. So unfortunately, most people today, they spend the majority of their time wearing shoes and inside. And so there are so many of us that are failing to have this benefit of the grounding that you're talking about.
Do you think their feet, like long ago, were more like tough than ours? Like the bottoms,
for sure,
definitely, because ours are like protected in our shoes and soft and everything. So does that mean ours are more? Sensitive. I watch
Naked and Afraid. Have you ever watched that show?
Yeah.
And they have no clothes on when they go, and the feet are the hardest part for these people. Because we are all protected by shoes so often. They try to prepare and go barefoot and all of that to toughen it up. But it's just everyday life. You can't go barefoot into restaurants and you can't go barefoot into grocery stores. And so, I think their feet were tougher back then. But they also had that joyous connection to the earth that we don't have anymore.
That's true. That's very true. It's sad when you put it like that.
I agree.
And then off of your roots, you know, like you've anchored your roots in, you're going to connect with Earth's energy. So as you visualize these roots, feel a sense of connection with Earth's energy. Imagine drawing up, stabilizing and grounding energy from Earth through your roots. So you're drawing, like you're grabbing this energy from the Earth and feeling it in your roots.
That then makes me think of when my kids love Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do summer Harry Potter camp sometimes when I have time. And I had them do this. I always try to make it a teaching moment. And I had them, I bought this kit where you could grow root vegetables.
Ooh.
And you can see through it. So it, it had the dirt, but it was clear on each side. So they could watch the earth and the roots grow into the earth. It was the coolest thing. And that makes me think of what you're talking about. That's how I would visualize it, is the roots like that growing into the earth.
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. After that, you're going to want to shift your focus to your core. So like, again, the being like your core of your physical being and your mental being, visualize a bright light or a serene space within you. And that's your center. So whatever feels at home, I suppose, is your center. Yeah. So then you're going to balance and align yourself. So, but to do this, you're going to imagine all your scattered thoughts, emotions, everything, and you're going to align it and balance it and bring it tranquil. And remember, this is all under how to ground.
So you like bring all those thoughts to your center within that bright light.
I mean, we talk about grounding yourself and then setting your intention. Like, this is setting your intention within the grounding of yourself.
The centering of yourself.
Of yourself. Yes.
Okay.
And then you're going to set your intention again. So while you're centered, you remind yourself of your path working intention or what you're doing in this grounding moment. And then you're going to visualize with a clear, vibrant image in your head, which I know I've already said that, but this is within the, again, understanding of grounding.
Right.
So then you're going to hold on to that energy through whatever it is you're doing, such as path working, such as shadow work, whatever you're grounding yourself for. And then again, when you're ready out of grounding, you're going to gradually wake up from your path working session in this case. And then selecting a path is very important. So now we're just back into the general path working. We kind of went into like
yeah,
a
so
tunnel.
all of that was preparing to do your path work.
And
so
then
now,
from that, we went into a how to ground. And now we're back out of that and into selecting a path.
Okay.
So decide on the purpose of your path working session. And again, I know I've already asked this question, but are you seeking guidance from a deity? All that, right? Or are you connecting to a particular element? I thought that one was very interesting.
I feel like I would want to do this with fire to start, just to see.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of our patrons, Greg, he is plant oriented and earth oriented. So he might want to explore the earth aspect, the earth element, perhaps.
Probably. I mean, I don't know. Based off of the water magic that we talked about last week, I want to know more about water magic and what else I can do with it that I haven't already thought about, because there's a lot that we don't really think about. So that's, I think I would probably work a little bit with water in this. And I have, what was it? The blue moon? I still have my blue moon magic.
Yeah, it was Dragon Con, and I put my moon, my water out in the moon, and I had the blue moon, and then I left and went to Dragon Con and forgot about it. So it set out, and it's been in the sun and the moons and all of that.
So it's sun and moon and sun and moon water.
So maybe it's super powerful.
It's like supercharged.
I don't know.
Yeah, I woke up. Well, actually, the night before. I kind of looked like a gremlin because I was like trying to look for my jar, like my biggest jar, because I wanted a lot. And so I'm like tearing through the kitchen, making all these clinks and clangs and all of that. And my husband's like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "Just, I'm trying to look for a jar."
What are you going to do with your blue moon water? That's, I mean, there, it's going to be what, 36 years or something before there's another blue moon?
Yeah. Yeah.
Something. So, I mean, that's special water.
I want to savor it, and it's in my pantry right now in a dark location. So it doesn't, nothing happens to it.
So it doesn't lose its charge.
Yeah. And so I'm wanting to use it in a jar spell, but I don't know how the jar spell will do with water in it.
You know?
Yeah. So I might just like flick it a little bit with some moon water and have
You're going to take a bath with it?
No, because I don't want to waste it.
It only takes a little bit to put into a bath.
But I'm one of those people who buys something and doesn't use it.
Are you going to cook with it? You do kitchen magic.
I used filtered water too, because I knew I was probably going to try to do something with that.
That's very cool. Okay. Sorry, anyways, guys. We're back off track again.
So where was I? So selecting a path, select it. And then you go through all of the things that I talked about earlier, like defining your intention. So like your clarify what your path working for, or identify your focus, or if you're working with a specific deity, you need to research that deity. You need to research on what you're trying to path work on, so that you have clear, so you don't go in all fuzzy minded being like, okay, I want to go in working with this deity. Let's say it's Anubis, like how we talked about in one of our, was it After Dark?
I think it was an After Dark.
And so let's say I want to work with Anubis, but I don't know much about Anubis, but I'm going to do it anyways. Like, you don't want to do that. Like, cause then like you're going to be confused. Anubis is going to be confused. It's going to be a whole thing. So do your research on like specific tools and specific things that you can work with in your path working to align yourself with that deity.
And I would like to say that even though you've done your research and done everything you're supposed to do, you may do this path work and go, wow, this is really not what I want. And that's part of the purpose of path working too, is to find the paths that you don't want to go down.
Yeah. And that's completely fine.
Yeah. That's a good thing.
And that's the reason why you're doing this path work, is to know what to find path you want to go on.
Yeah. Your path.
Yeah. So do your research, have this knowledge to help create a richer and more detailed visualization for your path work. And then you're going to want to have maybe cultural and personal context. So you're going to want to consider your personal beliefs and your cultural background too. Because if you're working with your ancestors in this case, it's very important. Inner self exploration, like we talked about, and then creating that mental image. So like once you've decided on your focus, then you're going to have that mental image, like how I was talking about the apple tree earlier. You're going to visualize it, what that was like, along with like an associated theme, or if it's a specific, you know, thing like a apple, for example, then you visualize that. So then you're going to craft your path working. So develop a loose script or plan for this path working session. So outline the journey, interactions, or scenes you would like to encounter along the way. So keep it flexible to allow for spontaneous insights and such. But if you have like a, I want to walk down a forest and shake hands with Anubis, you know, it could be something like that.
This reminds me of writing, and I am an unpublished author, so whatever. But there are people that plan for everything and every detail of their plot line. And then there are people that are pantsters, which if you hadn't guessed it, that would be me, that don't plan anything and you let things take you where everything goes. So for path working, you want at least a loose idea of where it's going to go.
Yeah.
You don't want to be a total pantster in the path working realm, but you do want to leave it open enough that it can, you know, you're not so rigid that it won't let you go where you're really, you know, supposed to go.
I mean I could see that too, because you don't want it so rigid that you know exactly what's going to happen, because then
I'm gonna meet Anubis and he's gonna do this and this is how it's gonna be, and it's that you're blocking yourself into not being able to go where you need to go.
Then you're gonna gather your materials, you know, like how we talked about, like Anubis, what did we say? Anubis liked, he likes gold and he likes rubies and like stuff like that. So if you, I mean, not real gold, obviously, because in this economy, who could?
Maybe.
Put that on like an altar or lay it out in
front
of you.
Goldschlager. What is that? What is the alcohol that has gold in it?
I think that's it. Yeah. Put that down, you know, might enjoy a drink too. But gathering your materials, again, setting your mood. What's also very important is stating your intent aloud. So I think that's also very important. And then you engage in your journey. You start by, you know, doing it. But that could be closing your eyes, taking deep breaths, and allowing that visualization come forth. Then after you're done, journal.
Yeah. Because also, as you're journaling right then, it might not mean anything to you. But later, when you go back and reread it, you're going to go, oh.
Yep. Yep. You are. You're going to be like, oh, I don't remember that.
I didn't know. Oh, and that could mean this. And maybe that's what it was talking about. Yeah. Speaking of paths, this really freaked me out. I don't know how I came across this during this research, but did you know there are paths called elephant paths?
Okay.
It's when you have a set or designed path, but humans go off that path, often in dirt, to get to the same spot. Like, say you've got a sidewalk that goes straight and then has a T.
Yeah.
And humans make this path like the hypotenuse
like
of
a shortcut.
Triangle. Yes.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, you say time-worn, well-worn paths, for example. So if you go into a city like Atlanta, you might have this area that the designer has created these beautiful sidewalks and they border on the park. But if there's a dirt path cutting through it, that is an elephant path.
Oh, I didn't know that's what they were called.
Yeah. And it's important to consider that, you know, okay, what are they doing? They're stepping off of this accepted, recognized path and exploring a different route. So you aren't as likely to follow in the footsteps of the other. I mean, you are some because it becomes a well-worn path, but the majority of the crowd is following,
you know, the designated,
and like, you're like, no, I'm going to go on my own way.
Yeah.
And that's called an elephant path. I thought that was the neatest thing. I didn't know anything about it.
What am I trying to say? Should we be the ones to go off on our own elephant paths and not follow what everybody else is doing? Thing? Like, do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I do. And I think it's up to you as an individual.
Like, not me, be a follower as much?
Me being me, I'm always the one that's like, what's this way? Let's go find out. And there are other people who are more like, no, this is the path. It's all paved. It's easy. Yeah, this is the way to go. And I'm like, fuck easy. Let's go this way.
Yeah.
It's a haunted house. Yeah. Let's go inside. Huh. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I might be the forger of the elephant paths. I don't know. That would be me.
Yes, it would be. I mean, I feel like I'm more... Well, I feel like I was raised in a way to where rules are rules. Wow, I don't know why. I can't say that. Rules are rules, and they're not meant to be broken. Blah, blah, blah. You know, like you fall like... Oh gosh, I don't even know how to describe it, but I mean, I always follow
fair to a point.
Yeah. But at the same time,
I mean, a lot of our
I'm always like, no, that's not what we're supposed to do. My husband's like, what do you mean we're not supposed to do that? You can do whatever you want, do what you want in a way. Yeah. And so I guess that's why my saying is do what you want, because like, I grew up thinking it had to be this way. It had to be that way. I mean, I guess maybe it's kind of like I have super bad anxiety. And so, I mean, I feel like a lot of my anxiety maybe comes from the idea that, you know, if you do something wrong in society, you could end up in jail, blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm not trying to break the law and stuff like that.
True facts.
And your rights are taken away. And you're like, but to me, my mind is boggled by that because, you know, like we have free will. Like every person has free will, whether they're in what type of government or whatever, everyone has free will, but it's just the way we're taught to think.
Well, society, that's society is a whole different, we could go down a rabbit hole.
This is
this
not
one.
The episode to do that. We're already running long.
Okay. Sorry, but that I would love to have that conversation with you.
But I guess I'll just wrap it up. I have a little bit more, but it's kind of repetitive. Mm-hmm. We already all know this, but once you're on that path of path working and all of that, and you've written in your journals, you should be open and be receptive, like understand like what comes in your path working might not be what you need, and that's okay, but it might also be what you need. So keep an open mind.
Don't force it to be what you want it to be. You're going to have to be open-minded and look at what it really is, because you might be like, but I don't want it to be this, but you know what? It might need to be that.
Yeah. And it's also important to reflect on your symbolism, because you might have things that could mean something in your path working. So you might want to write down, okay, there was a spider. And so now you're going to want to go in and see what could that spider mean in that situation. Mm-hmm. And then also apply insights to your life. Consider how the insights gained during your pathworking session apply to your current life situation or spiritual journey, which I feel like a lot of us probably thinking about that. Like, how is this going to affect my magical practice, my daily life? So consider everything in that session, I would say, and say, what does it mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then repeat and reflect. You know, you sit down for a long path working session. It's not completely work.
That's right. This is not a one-time thing.
No.
Like shadow work is not a one-time thing.
So, you know, repeat, reflect, all the same, and then seek validation. So if you encounter specific beings or symbols that you're not familiar with, seek validation from trusted sources or experienced practitioners where they can provide you with additional perspectives or their experiences, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk a little bit about path work using tarot, because as I said, I'm into tarot now. Really fascinating to me. And I read that it's best to start with the major arcana, which we did an episode on the major arcana.
Yeah.
But did you know that every tarot birth card, everybody has a tarot birth card associated with the major arcana?
Ooh.
And it's kind of like we did the math numerology episode.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that. What you do is you add up your birthday. So like if you're born on October 2nd, 1980, you would add the 1 plus the 0 plus the 2 plus the 1 plus the 9 plus the 8 plus the 0. That equals 21. Now, in the major arcana, there are 22 cards. And card number 21 is the last card because it starts with 0.
Oh, yeah.
You could go with that 21, or you could break it down further and add the 2 plus the 1 to get 3.
Okay.
So the 2 plus the 1 to get 3 is the Empress, and 21 is the World.
Ooh.
So you can then look up what those mean. So you can do your birthday and figure out what your major arcana card is. But basically, if you're going to use pathwork using tarot, you separate out the major arcana and you can choose a card, however that feels right to you. Some people want to lay them all out and then choose one.
Yeah.
Some people want to just shuffle them and pull one out like, you know, like a magic trick. You pull one out that way. But however it feels best to you, go ahead and pull a card. You be sure to fully concentrate on your chosen card and do your very best to memorize every detail in that card. Close your eyes, visualize it, and open it up, look at it again. Close your eyes. Do that until it's totally engraved in your consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Next, you imagine that card getting bigger and bigger and bigger until the figures in it are life size. And then you step into that card.
Ooh.
You immerse yourself into that vision completely, and you carefully observe the view beyond and what the image on the card normally shows. Look carefully and try to absorb every sensation, the sound, taste, touch, smell. There's five of them, whatever they are. Looking, sight, that's the other one. Most cards of the major arcana have characters on them. They might have animals on them. So try to communicate with the people in the card.
Mm-hmm.
You know, see how they interact to you. How does the story develop as you're in there? Let your imagination go. Ask them questions. Sometimes you might be guided by deep messages filled with this wisdom, and other times you might have a jokester character that, you know, makes a joke or plays a trick on you. Some cards possess deep archetypal energies, and some might be lighter or whimsical.
Mm-hmm.
You can also choose to see yourself as the figure on the card. Become that person, that archetype, that animal. Don't be afraid to go deeper and explore further. It's kind of like astral projection. You know, you want to immerse yourself in that. See each tarot card as a guide with a lot of wisdom to offer. And then return to your tarot pathworking meditation practice from time to time to see if things have changed. See what advice you might get the next time. It's mm-hmm. it's like we said, it's not a one-time thing.
Yeah.
And yeah. Journal about it, of course.
How many times are we going to journal about it? But yeah. And then also remember that the purpose of pathworking is to deepen your understanding of yourself, your spirituality, and the universe. Mm-hmm. Every encounter and insight contributes to your personal growth and spiritual evolution. So approach these experiences with an open heart and willingness to learn. In your completion, you will feel your journey has come to a conclusion, and then you can thank everything that has helped you. So if you mm-hmm. feel like you're done with pathworking, like you've done multiple sessions and you feel like you're done, then thank the universe, thank everything that has helped you come to that conclusion, and then begin the process of returning your physical surroundings, you know, all of that. So pretty much that's it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Journal, of course.
Journal.
And then if you were looking for your path in terms of what kind of magic to practice, like we talked about, kitchen witch or whatever, then you go back and you look at your journal notes, especially if you've done it multiple times, and mm-hmm. you see what stands out to you. Is there a lot of fire? Is there a lot of food? Are there specific elements, animals? Were there images of a certain type of location? Like, is it all city? Is it all forest? Or is it all open fields? Is it the ocean? Use this information to start following your own path in your magic.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
then, does this seem like too much trouble? Well, consider this quote that I found. Surprise, surprise. We must take time to define our own path. Too quickly, we can find the world defining it for us. And that was by unknown. No one knows who did that. But how true is that? If we don't take charge of ourselves, everything's going to happen to us.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
for real.
The world is going to choose for us. So let's make sure we choose for ourselves.
Yeah. I struggle with that a lot. Like I said, like a couple episodes ago, I feel like I was an NPC that woke mm-hmm. up, you know? And so a lot of my stuff is fuzzy, but I'm also dealing with I'm trying to figure it out without letting everybody else tell me what I'm supposed to do type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm having a hard time. And then those uncomfortable situations, you're never going to get anywhere if you don't put yourself in uncomfortable situations.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't like being uncomfortable.
I know. Nobody does. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
That's what it takes to make us grow.
Yeah. So.
Well, that's all we have.
Yes, that's all we have. Thank you for listening. Do you want me to do the outro?
Yeah, you do the outro.
Okay. I found an old set of notes.
Yay.
So you can find us at our all of our information at our website at www.c3witchypodcast.com. There you will find our episodes, links to our social medias, links to our merch, and that's at www.c3witchypodcastmerch.com. Mm-hmm. So we have spooky season merch out right now for a limited time only.
Limited time.
Limited time only. And I cannot stress that enough. You will only be able to purchase it up until November 1st.
And you guys, there's some really cool designs. So if you want some these really designs, cool. you've got to get them.
We are hearing you guys when you guys say it's a bit pricey. We do completely understand.
We understand.
We're trying to, and I mean, everything that would go, if you purchase a shirt, everything that we get goes back into the podcast. Nothing goes into our pockets. Everything goes back into making this podcast the best as we can do. So, I mean, it's not anything like that. So, I mean, we do understand. And you don't have to buy our merch to support us. Just listening to us, just downloading our episodes, you know, reviewing us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and or following us on Facebook and our social medias on YouTube. YouTube is a big one. If you just subscribe, that's a big help. So please support us on Patreon and everything like that too.
For sure.
And Buzzsprout.
Buzzsprout, yeah.
Because there you'll get access to our After Dark series on both of those platforms, plus extra goodies on Patreon, like guided meditations, witchy to-do lists, recipes, spells, more, all of that. I think I covered everything. Yeah.
I think so. So we'll be back.
We'll be back.
And until then, stay witchy.